Good evening. It is Tuesday, sunny 84, and you're listening to 1320 WILS. Great to have you here. I'm Michael Cohen, producer Johnny Buck. Tonight we will get the latest on the hate crime investigation here in Lansing, find out what's happening there. Also, longtime medical marijuana activist Tim Beck will be here to tell us how the effort to legalize marijuana is going here in Michigan. And a certified Sharia lawyer, a man who actually worked as a Sharia lawyer in Iran, will be here. We'll get his reaction to President Trump recertifying the Iran nuclear deal. But let's begin with what didn't happen. Well, we now know officially the Senate was not able to get the votes together to pass a bill to repeal the Affordable Care Act. Kevin Wakacy is with us, Dr. Kevin Wakacy, a physician, a healthcare insurance expert. Find him online at healthcareonomics.com. Dr. Wakacy, great to have you on WILS.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it.
Do you have ownership of that word, healthcareonomics?
Well, Reaganomics was very apt at describing some things, and so voodoo economics is good, so I figured healthcareonomics. It's a wacky world where the normal principles of economics just don't apply within healthcare. Supply and demand doesn't matter. There's price fixing within healthcare, so it's kind of a crazy world, the healthcareonomics. So that's why I call it that. Yes.
What happens now that this effort didn't work?
Well, status quo ante bellum, I guess. We're back to where we were, last week. I'm kind of amazed at the Republicans' lack of political fortitude to just not even repeal Obamacare, because they have been championing that for so long. So many of them ran on the idea of repealing Obamacare, but the sticky part.
Yeah, there were a few votes shy, but I guess I'm wondering, because President Trump says now we just need to wait for the whole thing to collapse. Is that going to happen?
Collapse how? What do you mean collapse? The health insurance companies are loving it. They've got, record revenues going through the roof. I'm not sure their profits, but their revenues are crazy. Their stock prices are going crazy. Mm-hmm. They are sitting in a very pretty position right now where they've got everybody scared. People are scared to drop their health insurance coverage, and they're charging as much as a mortgage is now and getting away with it. I'm on Twitter, and one of my tweets was, why do people pay as much as a mortgage for their, or why do health insurance companies charge you as much as your mortgage payment? Because you'll keep paying it no matter what. I'm not saying that people should drop their health insurance for sure, but I'm just saying that the health insurance companies, what's going to change all this, and you and I've talked about this before, what's going to change it, the only thing that's going to change it and get it back to reality, back to normal, is if health insurance companies had to compete for your business rather than competing for your employer's business, or rather than being propped up by all these laws that allow them to do what really no other industry can do.
Yeah, but what we're hearing is the reason premiums are so high now is because of the uncertainty. That's the word out there, right? That it's so uncertain.
Well, what people forget is premiums were rising before Obamacare took hold. Obamacare certainly may have injected some steroids into it, but premiums have been rising ever since the 70s. Nothing has really slowed it down. Remember, managed care came in. It was ushered in on the promise to control health care costs. Mm-hmm. Well, it didn't. Health insurance costs have been going through the roof ever since. Now, granted, you got your $5 copay there for about 20 years, but I wrote a book called The Guide to Buying Health Insurance and Healthcare. And in this book, I detail the history of health insurance industry and how they took over health care and their motivations behind each of their steps that they've made. And they've been just absolutely genius at creating and maintaining this idea. I call it the big myth of healthcare, and that's the idea that healthcare is so expensive we need health insurance to cover all of healthcare. Well, that's just not true. That's just not true whatsoever.
So you need health insurance
for the big things.
Is this something the insurance companies wanted, this effort to fail?
I'm not sure what they want as far as this legislation goes. I will say that they were really hoping for that $182 billion or so in subsidies that the Congress was going to pass to kind of buy them off. And I thought that was laughable that Congress is paying health insurance with taxpayer dollars to lower premiums for the taxpayers.
That was part of the agreement of the Affordable Care Act, though, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, but they were going to continue that. This is why Rand Paul got so upset. They were going to continue that with this Better Care Reconciliation Act, the thing that was being considered by the Senate. They had all kinds of subsidies in there to keep health insurance companies afloat. And these are these are some of the largest revenue by revenue companies in the country right now,
so
not the world.
Here's what I'm trying to understand. If they're getting all this revenue, Kevin, why are they leaving the exchanges so aggressively?
Because they don't want to insure individuals. In a nutshell, just really quickly, if I may, insuring individuals promotes competition amongst health insurers. They've got to compete for your business at the individual level, even on that market. But when they can go to employers, when they can insure, you know, everybody that works at WILS, you know, I don't know how many employees you have, but let's say you have 100 employees, they'd rather sell 100, you know, sell their policies to 100 people at a time because it does two things. Mm-hmm. Number one, it makes it easy for the health insurers to sell a lot of policies to a lot of people. But number two, it makes it very difficult for you as a WILS employee who's got this great health insurance plan. I'm not saying you do, okay? But if you did, let's pretend you did, you've got this great health insurance plan. It makes it very difficult for you to go and seek health insurance elsewhere in a competitive bid. Mm-hmm. Whereas in car insurance or homeowners insurance, you're going to shop around. You can get online and shop around and find the best deal, but not so with health insurance. So that's my stance on why they abandoned marketplaces. It has really nothing to do with the excuses they give so much as they want to continue this employer-based health insurance model because it served the health insurance industry very, very well for decades.
So how much, Kevin Wade Casey with us, Dr. Kevin Wade Casey on WILS. Find him at healthcareonomics.com. That's healthcareonomics.com. So how much higher can premiums go from here, do you think?
I mean, whatever people will pay. I'm doing my annual evaluation of Texas teachers right now, and it's coming out on my blog tomorrow, as a matter of fact. And let's see here. I just was pulling this up. If you want to get the platinum plan for a family and you're a Texas educator or an ISD, a school district employee here in Texas, you're going to pay $20,928 in health insurance premiums for next year if you want to get the platinum plan with the $3,000 deductible. I mean, so I guess, Mike, the answer is that it's going to go up, you know. Hey, you know, I don't mean to sound crude, but, you know, the old joke about why your cat licks itself because it can.
Right. So what about you? For you yourself, how do you deal with your own insurance?
Well, I'm one of the lucky few. I have a grandfathered health insurance plan that I've had for the past 15 years. It's a PPO. It's got a $2,500 deductible, and I'm a single guy, and I pay $270 a month on it. So I didn't, you know, I was caught. I mean, I know that's, believe me, I know that's not everybody's case, but I've been self-employed since I graduated from my residency, so I've had this plan for years and years and years, and it just hasn't. It used to be less than $100 a month until Obamacare took over.
And what would you do if you were looking for insurance now yourself? How would you approach it then?
Well, the first thing I would do, not to plug myself, but I've created this thing called Dr. Wade Casey's Equation. You can find it on my blog at healthcareonomics.com, and I wrote a whole chapter about it in my book. The very first thing you need to do is not over-insure yourself. And my equation helps you do that. It's a very simple way of comparing different health insurance plans. And most often the case is that if you upgrade from the bronze level plan, you're just losing money. You're paying the health insurance company money that you're never going to get back on the backside. So I would say that that's the thing that needs to happen first at the individual level. Pardon me. Is when comparing plans, you've got to look at what's it going to cost me to stay well and what's it going to cost me if I get hit by a train. Forget all the percentages of pharmaceuticals that are covered and the copays and, you know, 20% after this and all that confusing stuff. They put that in there intentionally to confuse you, and there's more variables in there to make Einstein pull his hair out. Okay. So the bottom line is what you need to do is focus on two variables, the premium, that's your annual premium, what it's going to cost you to stay well and buy the health insurance, and then the O value, the out-of-pocket maximum. Forget deductibles. Look at the O, you add the P and the O, and you get W. P plus O equals W. That's my equation. And the W stands for what you could spend if you got hit by a train or suffered a medical catastrophe during that insurance year.
One last
thing.
And
that's a very simple way.
Yeah, one last thing, Dr. Wade Casey. Where are we left then? How long do you think we'll go before we are going to go back to address the health care issue?
You mean health insurance? Well,
the health
until
insurance
Congress
issue.
Addresses it?
Yeah, I mean, at what point do you think that a repeal may have to be reconsidered?
I don't think that they're going to get away with this for very long. And honestly, without sounding self-serving, I think that what's going to need to happen is social media is going to need to get a hold of this. Because the media, the mainstream media, and, you know, you're one of the few guys that have me on the show, and I really appreciate that. But Mainstream media is just not interested in what I and several other people like me are having to say about this, and I don't know why that is, but when people get what I'm talking about, they really get it. And if we can get them educated by the thousands, tens of thousands and millions, I think that's when we're really going to see the pressure put on our representatives to start making some deals instead of taking the money that the health insurance lobby offers them, or instead of worrying about the political friction caused by, you know, taking 23 million people's health care away. We need to get away from that kind of language. It's not going to happen. That's not true. You're taking health insurance away, but that doesn't mean you're taking health care away. It's just going to have to re-educate the population. Mm-hmm. Now, that I don't mean to sound like time. That's a simple thing, but... Yeah. It's a monumental effort, but that's what it's going to require.
Dr. Kevin Wakasey, find him at healthcareonomics.com, healthcareonomics.com. Dr. Wakasey, great to have you on WILS.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it, sir.
Thank you.